This morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 37. I do want to thank the church for the provisions of the food and the room and everything. Been so good, always is. Room very comfortable. And you preachers will appreciate this. I rested and I was as comfortable as I possibly could be and knowing I had to preach today. You never really just totally relaxed when you're on a conference and your time's coming, you know. You're up late and up early and praying and seeking the Lord's blessings and so forth. But everything just been a tremendous blessing, and we sure appreciate it. The book of Genesis, chapter 37, I want to share a message the Lord's given us. And I guess if I was putting a title to it, I'd entitled it, The Nightmare Before the Dream Comes True. The Nightmare Before the Dream Comes True. Joseph is an awesome, wonderful example of keeping the faith in the face of adversity. He kept the faith in the face of adversity. God revealed to him in a dream some wonderful things. God revealed to him in a dream what was the ultimate plan for Joseph, for his life. But after he received the vision, after he received the dream, after God made the revelation unto him, things went from bad to worse. And then they went from worse to worser, if that's possible. But that's the way it seemed to go with Joseph. Let's read a few verses here to begin our message, and we just pray to be an encouragement to you. And we know the direction our land is going in. We know the direction. We knew the direction our land was going in almost 8 years ago when Obama got elected. So what continues to transpire and what continues to come forth is not really shocking or surprising. It is disturbing. It's saddening. It is that which grieves our hearts for our nation. It grieves our hearts for our children and grandchildren as the Lord may come very soon. He may not.
Right.
His coming is imminent, but we don't know the exact time. And as it's already been said, there may be some very definite hardships and things that we have yet to face before he comes. And so we pray the Lord will bless, and let's use and let's see this example of Joseph this morning, and may it be an encouragement to us. And Jacob dwelt in the land, Genesis 37:1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, and in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So he wasn't in the best situation. He wasn't enjoying the best situation. He certainly wasn't enjoying necessarily a wonderful family experience and so forth. There was such envy and jealousy of his siblings that they could not say a word to him peaceably. They couldn't say a word to him that wasn't hurtful or hateful or argumentative or in some way or another showing their envy in despite of him. Says verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. So the Lord gave him a dream. The Lord gave him a revelation of that he was going to raise him up. He was going to give him a position of authority and a position of power, and that his family was going to have to recognize his authority and his place and so forth. And they hated him yet the more. You know, sometimes the Lord saves you and Lord works in your life, you become a follower of the Lord and a Christian, and sometimes it's not all peaches and cream. Sometimes it goes from bad to worse. Sometimes a chance, I mean, Joseph was just 17 years old. And I thought, in relationship to Joseph, the Lord moved upon our heart and called us into the ministry when I was a teenager. And beloved, I can attest I had no idea what I was getting into. I had no idea what the different things and challenges of one thing another that might face me. But thankfully, as the Lord with Joseph, he's been with us, and he'll continue to be with us regardless of what comes. And so they hated him yet the more. Then he reveals the dream and says, and he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. Behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said unto him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren. Now some say Joseph was just being a wicked little guy, you know, being the baby of the family and just rubbing it in and so forth. I've been 17 and been excited and been thrilled about what the Lord. I think Joseph was just naturally, you know, being himself. He was excited. He was thrilled at what the Lord was revealing to him, and he wanted to share it. So I don't believe necessarily he was being, you know, trying to rub it in or dig his brothers over. He was just a young 17-year-old kid. Being a 17-year-old kid. And he told his father, verse 10, the brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou dost dream? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, as we look into your word now for these few moments, we ask your blessings upon it. I ask for your grace from on high to share your word here with your people. Father, help us glean from the account of Joseph what we need for the day and even the days that may come. Father, we look to give you all honor and glory and praise, and we thank you for this blessed time that we do have together to assemble in this place and to worship and honor and glorify thee. Help us, each one, supply what spiritual need that each soul has. And, Father, we just look to you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Joseph here, as a young man, received a vision. And as he received these visions, things did not get better. They got worse. As he received these visions, he became more and more rejected and despised by his family and by those around him. And today the Lord has given us a revelation. He's given us a vision. He's given us a vision of our salvation. He's given us a vision of eternal life. He's given us a vision of eternal glory. He's given us a vision of victory over all the world and over all the things of the world. God has given us a vision of ultimate glorification with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Beloved, the world around us hates us, despises us. Okay, will do anything they can to do us dirty anytime they can. Let's understand that. Let's realize that. Let's recognize our reality in the world today. We've been blessed to live in a country called America, and we've had it very good for quite a number of years. But we look back, and it's something that, as I was teaching and going through some of the studies we've studied recently, 2 Thessalonians, we're into 2 Peter, as we study some of the second books of the Bible that God gives us, and those focus greatly on the end times and the things of the end times. And the reality we face today, beloved, is that we're not any better, not any different, and we should not expect any more than our forefathers of faith, than the men and women of the Bible. And the Bible tells us that certainly there are sufferings, there are afflictions, there's part of our calling is a calling of suffering for Christ. And honestly and truly, we've experienced in a national sense very little of that. We may in coming time to experience more and more of that. And so let us be aware and understand. And so Joseph received his vision. He received his dreams of the Lord, how the Lord was going to exalt him and going to open up doors of authority unto him, and that even his own family was going to recognize this authority, and his brethren just hated him more and more and more, and they were going to kill him. But the Lord would not allow it, and so forth, so they sold him into slavery. So he receives his vision, and he gets hated more than he ever was before. And then we find over in chapter 39 that after his brethren thought to kill him, and then the one brother talked him out of it, and they sold him. He was sold into the hands of some Ishmaelites and so forth. And then he gets purchased by an Egyptian. He becomes a slave in the land of Egypt. We find in chapter 39 and verse 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and over all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. We find that Joseph, as a slave, he did not become bitter. He did not become just a mean, angry, vile person. He maintained his faith. He maintained his spirit. He did not become a bitter, broken spirit. Even in his slavery, he was torn away from his loving father and torn away from all that he ever knew. And he was a total slave in a foreign land, and he had no rights, had nothing of his own. But yet we find the Lord was with him, and we find that Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. Ah, beloved. One of the tests of trials, one of the tests of dealing with things in life is how are we going to react? What kind of person are we going to be when we go through them? Amen. Are we going to come mad at God? Are we going to become angry with God? Are we going to become bitter against God? Are we going to come to the point of saying, well, I did this and I surrendered and I had faith and look where I am. There's no use. I'm just going to give up. Just going to quit this mess. I'm not going to bother anymore. What kind of person are we going to be when the affliction comes? When we're going through affliction's valley? When we're dealing with things that in all the areas of the flesh we'd just love not to be dealing with. We'd just love not to be going through. Joseph remained a goodly person and well-favored. Joseph remained his character, his high integrity and his faith in the Lord, and he did his servitude faithfully. I notice here also with me that Potiphar's house was blessed because of Joseph.
Amen.
I believe this with all my heart. I believe part of why America has been as blessed as she is because of God's people.
Amen.
In America.
Amen.
And I believe if God continues in any way to bless America, it's not going to be because of America. It's not going to be because of our government. It's not going to be because of our military might. It's going to be because of God's people.
Amen.
Still dwelling in the land, still living in America, still praying for America, still seeking to be a light shining in a dark place. And as it was, for Potiphar's house was blessed for Joseph's sake. We find that Joseph, as he did his duty and as he was remaining faithful, Potiphar's wife took a shine to him. And Potiphar's wife sought to allure him and to entice him, to tempt him. And we find in verse 7 of 39, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Ah, beloved, facing what was surely one of the greatest temptations of his life, what surely was a time of temptation, what wasn't just a one-time temptation. We'll find as you read here in verse 10, "And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph, day by day." Day by day she tempted him. Day by day she sought to allure him. And yet Joseph remained faithful. And Joseph his heart remained pure. And he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know, as we think about the temptations of life, we need to realize that, you know, it's not what sin does to people. It's that sin is wickedness against God.
Amen.
People have forgotten that. People have lost sight. Sin is wickedness against God. Sin is transgression against the holy, righteous command of God. Sin is against the holy, righteous God Almighty of all time and eternity. I like David's profession in Psalms where he, Nathan told him, "Thou art the man," and so forth, David confessed that against thee only, O God, have I sinned. Oh, how we need to realize the wickedness of sin, that it's against God. That is not about the people. It's not about earthly sin. It's about that which is wicked and perverted in the sight of God. There's so much humanism. There's so much of that which is promoted in our land today. Think about how this one feels and think about how that one feels. And, oh, we don't want to be offensive. And, oh, we don't want to create any problems. We don't want to stir anything up. Beloved, sin is wickedness against God.
Amen.
And we need to state it as so, and we need to stand against it as so, and we need to understand it as so. Not about, you know, someone being offended or someone thinking we're hate mongers or intolerant people. It's about the fact that we don't want to be involved in any way, shape, or form in supporting or being part of wickedness against God.
Amen.
And we need to understand that today, beloved. And Joseph certainly did. Well, she got tired and she did all she could, even latching hold of him one day and He even let go of his coat and fled away. So she drummed up a lie and covered her tracks and basically got Joseph thrown in prison. So now here again, God revealed to Joseph, "I'm going to raise you up. Your sheaf is going to rise up and your family sheaves are going to do obeisance to yours," and so forth. And yet again, things go from bad to worse. Now, being a slave wasn't a good thing, but he was in a fine home. He was in a home that was probably for its time what we might consider a mansion, and very well furnished, and the food was certainly probably as good as it could be, and so forth. And even though he was a slave, it was a comfortable place. Well, then Potiphar's wife lies about him, and Potiphar has him thrown in prison. And so again, things go from bad to worse. Let's read here in the latter part of chapter 39. Verse 20, "And Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But again, the Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. You know, things for us, as we follow the Lord and serve the Lord, things may go from bad to worse, but beloved, let's remember who's with us.
Amen.
Let's remember who's with us. We may be ripped away from our natural support group. We may be ripped away from our family and loved ones. We may be isolated. We may feel isolated. You know, that's one of the things as Brother Mark Clark Jr. preached last night, a lot of times we perceive things, and a lot of times we think things, and we think them in ways we necessarily shouldn't, but sometimes we get to feeling isolated and just totally alone, and no one understands what we're dealing with. No one understands what we're going. Beloved, there's always one who understands perfectly. And that one is with us. And he's with us, and he's near us, and he's promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, beloved, but the Lord was with Joseph. He got thrown into prison. He went from a fine family. He went from a wealthy family. He went from being the favored of the family to slavery. And that was bad. Wasn't good at all. But now he's gone from slavery to, as the Bible says later, the dungeon. And let me tell you, it's like Brother Larry was preaching. It was no picnic. It wasn't air conditioned, and they didn't have so many hours of satellite TV at their disposal, and they didn't get, three square meals and everything like they got. It was a dungeon. It was a pit. It was vile. It was stinking. It was just putrid. It was an awful, wretched place. Prison was some place that was almost unbearable.
Amen.
In the day of Joseph. And so, here's Joseph. He's in prison. But the Lord is with him. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. That which he did, the Lord made it prosper. You know, we may be in a dire strait, but as we look to the Lord and as we follow the Lord can make it prosper. The Lord can make it a blessing. The Lord can make it something that far more than it normally would be. And the Lord, even in the dungeon, the Lord blessed Joseph and allowed what he did to prosper. Oh, how we need to follow Joseph's example of faith. While in the course of time there, lo and behold, remember now how all this is working. God gave Joseph a vision of leadership and authority, a vision of provision and power. But he was a Hebrew child. He was the son of Jacob. He was in a far land where his family was sojourning. Now he's been sold. He was sold to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites in their travels came and met Potiphar, and Potiphar bought Joseph. So he became the servant of an Egyptian. Now, through the lying ways of Potiphar's wife, he's in the king's prison. And in the king's prison, lo and behold, the king's butler and baker get thrown in that prison. We're not going to take time to read a bunch of text, so forth, or read. I really wrestled about what to read, not to read in the course of this. I'd love to be able to just read all these several chapters consecutively, but time would fail us. But anyway, in prison, in God's ultimate providence, in God's ultimate purpose, he's in the king's prison. with the king's butler. And the butler's going to have a dream. The baker had a dream too, but the baker's dream didn't end up, the baker's dream ended up being a nightmare too.
Right.
King had the baker slain, had the king had the baker put to death. But the butler had a dream. And Joseph, by God, was given the interpretation of that dream. And he told the butler that he would be restored. And all he asked of the butler was to be remembered. Look in chapter 41 with me, verse 13. And it came to pass, he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and brought him hastily out of the dungeon. Oh, I got ahead of myself. Chapter 40. Verse 14. Joseph revealed the dream, and he said, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of my land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." So he just asked to be remembered. You're going to be restored. You're going to be put back in your place. When you do, remember me. Well, the butler, I guess, got so happy, so thrilled to be back where he was, he totally forgot about Joseph. Now, picture Joseph here. He's still in the dungeon. He's thinking, hey, you know, the Lord's moved, the Lord's work. He's allowed me to come into the presence of this butler. He's restored the butler. The butler has the ear of the king. He's going to be able to speak for me. And any day now, I'm going to hear word. Any time now, the Lord's going to deliver me. Any moment now, it's going to get better. Any moment now, I'm getting out of here. And day after day, after day, after day, after day,
right.
Beloved, look in chapter 41 and verse 1. And it came to pass that at the end of 2 full years.
Right.
Wow. After 2 full years, Joseph still stuck in the dungeon. You know, sometimes we know the Lord's going to deliver, and sometimes we just feel it's going to be any minute, any moment. So, but, you know, the days go on. The days continue. Time progresses. Oh, beloved, I don't believe Joseph lost faith. I don't believe even in this, even after 2 full years, we know that Joseph hadn't lost his faith in Almighty God. We know that Joseph hadn't given up. That Joseph hadn't said, oh, you know, I'm just about like Job, you know, I'm just going to curse God and die, get it over with. I mean, these days in this dungeon just keep dragging on and on. But I don't believe Joseph lost faith. Finally, beloved, God, in His providence and purpose, sent a dream unto Pharaoh. Nobody in all the land could interpret it. Nobody in all the land, all his soothsayers, all his magicians, all his wise men, all his those that he looked to for advice and counsel. So no one could interpret the dream. Finally, the chief butler remembers. Look in verse 9 of chapter 41. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Well, it took him 2 years, but he finally remembered. He'd promised Joseph, hey, when I get out, I'll remember you. I'll sure to speak to Pharaoh about you. Well, after 2 years, and the butler says, I remember my faults this day. And he tells Pharaoh about Joseph. Joseph is hastily called out. Verse 14 of chapter 41. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved him and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream. There is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou can understand a dream to interpret it. I love Joseph's response here. This shows his continuing faith. This shows his continuing trust. This shows his continuing honoring and glorifying God. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Oh, beloved, after all this time, after all he's went through, after all that he's endured unrightfully and unrighteously, and all that he's gone through that he didn't deserve as far as human means go, and yet he says, it's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace.
Amen.
Joseph said, it's not me, it's the Lord. It's not me, it's God Almighty. Joseph still shows his faith and integrity. And he interprets a dream, the dream of the seven fat cattle and the seven lean cattle, and the lean eat up the fat, and the seven good ears of corn, and the skinny, narrow, thin ears of corn, and they eat up the fat corn is over. And basically, God reveals to Joseph, and Joseph reveals it to Pharaoh, that there's going to be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, the worst famine that there's ever been. You know, they talk about global warming and different things that transpired and so forth. I tell you what, this old world has seen a lot of things. This old world has seen a lot of famines and pestilence, has seen a lot of climate change, and it had nothing to do with global warming. And beloved, what God's going to do in the days ahead, it's not going to be because of global warming. It's not going to be because of man. It's going to be because God working out his purpose. God Almighty fulfilling his plan and providence in this old world. And we find that when all was said and done, that Pharaoh spoke to Joseph. And Joseph's counsel was for him to look out a man of integrity, a man of soundness, and so forth. And Pharaoh recognized that there was not going to be anyone that had any more wisdom or any more, to be any more better to see to this thing than Joseph. We find in verse 38 of chapter 41, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?
Amen.
And Pharaoh said unto his servants, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. You know, we know a lot of things today, beloved. We know a lot of things the world don't. But we don't know them because of ourselves.
Right.
We don't know them because of our base intelligence. Right. We don't know them because of our IQ levels. We only know them by the grace of God.
Amen.
We only know them by the revelation of the Holy Spirit of God. And oh, how we need to humbly recognize this. Oh, how we need to understand that it all comes from God and it's all to God's glory. And Pharaoh recognized the Spirit of God in Joseph. And so they appointed Joseph. And it says on down that basically Joseph became second only to Pharaoh.
Amen.
Basically, Joseph ruled the land. His dream come true. Finally, from a teenager to where he was now, as a full-grown man, after years of slavery, years of bondage in prison, in the dungeon, his dream comes to pass. The revelation that God gave him came to pass, and he was put in a position of power. One of the things I love about the account of Joseph is that when he came and his brethren came unto him and his family came unto him, Joseph didn't show a bitter, vengeful spirit.
Right.
He showed a loving, forgiving spirit. Oh, how we need that in our lives, in our churches today. How we need a loving, forgiving spirit. We don't need a spirit of, you've done this to me, I'm going to do even worse to you. We don't need a spirit that you don't treat me right, I'm not going to do you right. You know, the golden rule from our Lord Jesus Christ isn't do unto others as they have done unto us. That's how many people interpret the golden rule. But it's do unto others as we would have done unto us. Oh, beloved. Joseph, we won't take time to read it, but he lovingly, forgivingly embraced and received his family and was restored unto them. As we conclude, as we think about these things, I want to share with you some things in conclusion. As Joseph, a great example of faith and of the working of the Lord in prophecy and purpose. First of all, we see the Lord worked, the Lord did. It was God who gave Joseph the dream. It was God who gave Joseph the revelation. It was the power of God that worked out every step of the way. It wasn't at all what Joseph initially thought it might be. It wasn't at all, I'm sure, what Joseph ever expected. It wasn't at all what Joseph ever considered he'd endure and go through for the Lord's vision to be fulfilled. Isn't that like us? Isn't that like our condition today? Which of us here had served the Lord and been saved and following the Lord, like that, which of us had not gone through some things that we never imagined we would?
Right.
That we never pictured we would. That we never considered we would. But God is with us. God is working. God's purpose is being fulfilled. And it's all good. I heard a man at a meeting a bit ago, and what he said, you know, really kind of stuck with me. He was talking about Romans 8:28, and all things work together for good. He said, you know, I don't like to open up a can of cornmeal and just eat it by the spoonful. That's not appealing to me at all. He said, I don't like raw eggs beaten up and just to slurp them out of a bowl. He said, I don't like baking powder by the spoonful. He said, but you know, you put all that together, you mix it all up, and you bake in the oven. He says, man, I sure love cornbread.
Amen.
Beloved, that's how God works. That's part of God's providence. God's purpose. There's things that we go through and things that we endure, but beloved, let's have the faith that, you know, God's plan, the revelation of God's with us, working through us, and God's goodness upon us. God does all things in a goodness and a wisdom that the Bible tells us plainly we can't know. We won't know till we get to glory. But we can have faith. We can continue to trust in God. We continue to look to the Lord. We can hold to faith as Joseph did throughout all that he dealt with and all that he went through. And when Joseph, the first thing he did when he got out of the prison was glorify God.
Amen.
First thing he did when he got out was lift up God and honor God and say, oh, Pharaoh, it's not in me. It's not of me. It's of God. It's of God. And oh, beloved, may God help us as Joseph to realize that we may yet have some hard things to deal with. We may yet have some heartbreaking things to go through. We may yet have some things facing our nation and facing our churches that honestly, I'll be honest with you, I did not see until recent years ever the ruling that was passed yesterday coming down in our land. If you'd asked me 15 years ago, if you'd asked me 20 years ago, I said, I don't believe it'll happen. But it has happened.
Right.
It's here. Oh, beloved, we don't know what may yet come. But we can be Josephs in our time. We can follow the example of Joseph. We can, as the servants of God today, keep on keeping on, even though things might seem to go from bad to worse and from worse to worser in the course of time. And God help us. I noticed a verse I didn't have it in my notes, but I noticed when Brother Larry was preaching in the book of Isaiah. I want to close with this. And it's just as true. It's just what we need to hold to tonight, today, as much as ever. And Isaiah chapter 41. Verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Beloved, let us lean on Him. May God bless His word and bless you today.
Amen.